It was the grand plan. After graduation, my roommate and I were to live and work in what we decided were the three most exciting cities in America: New York, New Orleans, and San Francisco. First stop, New York City. In the summer of 1959, I finished the school year where I taught fourth grade with Episcopal nuns in a cloistered Manhattan school. My jobette for summer before the move to New Orleans was to clerk at the mom-and-pop bookstore on the first floor of the Empire State Building. From the nuns to the bosom of a Jewish family, a shock to my system for an Alabama, Carolina girl. The bookstore was a family enterprise owned by the Cohen brothers. No, not Ethan and Joel, but Sidney, Sheldon, and Irving Cohen. My supervisor's name was Yetta. I quickly learned a smattering of Yiddish, chutzpah, which Yetta would murmur when a disgruntled customer hurried away. It was not the complimentary word we use today to describe a bold kind of moxie. And minch and schlock. Today, these words have moved into everyday lexicon, but in 1959 were exotics to me. And the food, ah! Yetta was a purveyor of endless creations for me to sample. Babka, matzo farfel, latke, and lox. A daily medley of new foods and words. The shop was chock-a-block with cringe-worthy tchotchkes. Empire State Building nightlights, Statue of Liberty with a clock in her nether regions, the Big Apple pencil sharpener with green worm for a handle, a tourist favorite for some unsuspecting teacher back home. The bookstore part needed someone familiar with titles and authors. I was the chosen one. I became the buyer. It was the year of the Grove Press versus the U.S. Post Office battle over mailing the D.H. Lawrence homage to sex and adultery banned in the United States. I had read a version of Lady Chatterley's Love in Tuscaloosa, discreetly passed among us. The Post Office lost the case and the unexpurgated version was available. The stampede was on, and the book was a daily sellout as customers brushed past the souvenir change purses. My memory that summer is not of the first U.S. soldiers President Eisenhower sends to Vietnam, foretelling the sad war that follows, nor of the ambitious and tragic young Senator Kennedy waiting in the wings for his cue to enter center stage, or the approval of the birth control pill, or the overturn of the Arkansas school segregation law, or the Soviet launch of the first man-made object. Before the year was out, my roommate returned home to Durham with mononucleosis. 3 days after I returned south, my father had a fatal heart attack. I moved my mother back to Alabama and eventually went on alone to New Orleans. The grand plan was scrapped. 1959. It was indeed the year everything changed.